that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, August 20th, 2022. A beautiful blue sky. I don't see any clouds out there. Oh, there's a few back to the east. But a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, and we've got a full crew to for fellowship and praise, and who knows where it'll go this morning, but we'll bring everybody on. And Brother Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Tim, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, wherever you are, tuning in on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, we say good morning to you. We'll have the phone lines open this morning. It is a beautiful summer morning. Hope you're having that good godly weather as well. It's a good thing God brings us this good weather in its season. And the seasons are somewhat predictable for the most part. But we'll have the phone lines open, and we're going to open up in prayer. Paul, I'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of God on behalf of our fellow man that we discuss with the current events, Lord, and we see your hand involved in all of it, Lord, and it is a time to rejoice. The wicked will be preserved to the day of destruction. It looks to me like it's not too far away. Lord, we pray that your hand will be up on this program as we speak and discuss things in a godly manner, that your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. And yeah, looking at the headlines, several, you can start pretty much with any, in any avenue that you wanted to, but I thought I'd start out in Psalms. Have my Bible open to Psalms 118 this morning, and this is where, you know, we read the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day the Lord has made, verse 24. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We heard that this morning. And but I encourage you, Remnant, if you want encouragement, take a look at, I mean, most of the Psalms, any of them, but Psalms 118, it, you know, in verse 10 it says, all nations surrounded me. Verse 11, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, says David. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. And when you just read those things, sometimes you can, it might seem like that in the life that we live today. It sure seems that way in Christian America, that our enemies have surrounded us, that we see them in the school board, we see them in the government, we see them just about everywhere we look. We see the ungodly, those that mock our God, that are his enemy and our enemy. But I only read part of those verses to you. When you read the rest of them, verse 10, all nations surrounded me, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. Verse 11 says, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. Then it says, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. And verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. Even verse 13, you, the enemy, pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. And that speaks to me that the circumstances we're in today, with the highest inflation in 40 years, gas prices, they dropped, 18 cents. And we're supposed to rejoice about that. I saw that headline this morning I was sharing with the men before the program. CNN calls $3.92 a gallon gas $100 a month pay raise for Americans. They call evil good. What was good was $1.35 a gallon gas here just a couple of, two or three short years ago. That was pretty good. But we see these things that are happening to us today. I think it is like the tares and the wheat, where the explanation is given that an enemy has done this. They have. But we do need to remember that verse 8 here in Psalms 118 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And for those that are his, for those that have repented, for those that have returned, for those that have bought the oil, as the wise virgins had done, he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our encouragement. And I know I have to be reminded, as I see these headlines, as I see the sometimes the crowds, the people that you see in public, in society, it is discouraging at times. I have to get back to the Word and realize that when we take refuge in Him, and we can, we realize that He will work it out, and He is working it out.
You know, you made mention few moments ago about this good godly weather, and I completely understand what you're saying, because we enjoy those blue clear sky days with the birds flying and, you know, bright sun, and it's just beautiful weather, and we think about that as good weather. But all of it is good weather, and God sends the storms just like He sends the sunshine, and He delivers us from those storms, and He carries out His work through those storms. And this morning, it was shared with me, and I don't know how I missed it, but I did, that there was a federal report that came out last year in February of 2021 that was talking about the heavy metals in the baby food, and how there was they tested baby foods, and they found that the four major brands, Beech Nut, Gerber, Earth's Best Organic, and Happy Baby Foods, were selling baby food that their own internal audits knew that they had high levels of heavy metals in them, much more than what doctors agreed would be safe for babies. But the way they're able to get away with it is the FDA has no standards for heavy metals in baby foods. They got rules on who can sell meat out of my local slaughterhouse and what they can do and this and that, but not poisoning babies with heavy metals. And so y'all can do the research and to look into it a little bit further, but apparently that was a big thing that was found out, and it doesn't look like anything has been done to remedy it. But I thought about the fact of, because at first you're going to get angry whenever you find out that they are knowingly poisoning our children, and nothing's being done about it. Then I thought about the fact of, well, you know, what else have we heard about baby food here recently, and, you know, being the baby food shortages, the fact that there hadn't been a whole lot of it on the shelves, and so parents have had to resort to going back and making some of their own baby food and doing things the old ways. And I know there's been many times when I thought that was a bad thing, because we do have a young child at the house, and like, oh, you can't find the baby food, but you know what, we made it work. But I was looking at it as a negative thing, you know, as a storm, but maybe the whole time it was keeping me from feeding my child this baby food that apparently everybody else knew that was full of heavy metals and wasn't good for them, even though it was the high dollar organic, supposed to be better of the evils baby food.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because one of the things I was thinking about over the last couple of days was perception versus belief and how it translates into our reality, you know. And you know, the perception, and this plays right into it, what you're talking about, Josh, and it's the fact that the perception is, oh my goodness, all these babies are going to starve unless the government does something, or they're going to be sick, or they're going to have all these issues. The reality of it is God has created a way for people to learn how to make their babies food and to make good food for them and to protect them and take care of them. And we run into that. Our belief, you know, is faith, belief. Those things create that reality as long as your faith and belief is in God. You know, that reality is created because God creates the reality. We just have to have faith in Him. We just have to, you know, He seeks, He gives us a list of the things He seeks, justice, long-suffering, those sort of things. And when you believe that, the reality becomes manifest. So I think that, and their perception, they create a false belief through perception, through their media, through fear, through all these other things that creates a false belief in you that damages your reality, you know. So and it damages your walk with God, which is why it says, the Bible says over and over again, fear not. But I just think it's interesting that the word belief shows up like, or the word rejoice, the word, you know, is like 240 times in the Bible. And when we believe in Him, if you believe in Him and you believe that everything that is done is for your benefit, you know, and you rejoice, that's what do you pay God for everything He's done for you? I guess is the bottom line, you know.
That's right.
He tells us to rejoice. He said, you know, but the belief angle of it is, I'm reminded of Matthew. I looked it up, Matthew 24:26. Wherefore, if they say unto you that, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it or not. You know, he tells us what to believe and what not to believe. And why are they so scared of people who follow Christ? Because we believe in him and we don't believe in them. So they can't alter your perception of reality. And that's what it is. God creates reality. They want to alter your perception of it into something bad. Well, don't be happy about that Don't be happy about that. Instead of saying, my Father has taken care of all this, and I may not know exactly why this is going that way, but he's got this,
Amen. We heard that, all these babies were going to die because of the lack of baby formula, because of the lack of baby food. Oh, I didn't hear of any of them dying. But what you don't get reported on is that, like you mentioned, Josh, the parents that had to, you have to feed your children. And because they have had to do it, they've had to look at other ways. They've had to research and find out, how do you make your own baby formula? Boy, the establishment was coming out, don't make your own baby formula, don't do that. And so what are you left with? Let the baby starve? I can't get formula. For whatever reason, mama can't feed it, or it's beyond that. So you let them starve? No. So the parents made do. They found that you can find goat milk, and you can make formula, and you can get an old-fashioned food grinder and grind up good food that you're eating and feed it to your baby and all types of things, because they had to do it. But the convenience was taken away, and a lot of people found out that, hey, wait a minute, I don't have to go get this formula. I don't have to keep feeding this, like you said, Josh, this food that's not healthy for my baby. Not all. Oh, no, we saw the reports of people driving for hours and hours and hundreds of miles to get the last bottle of Enfamil or baby formula or whatever. But you can bet that there were a lot of parents that just figured it out because they had to.
I remember in May of 11 when Pastor Peter said something is going to happen in September of 9/11, and nothing will ever be the same after that. And that is the absolute truth. See, a lot of people want to go back. You talk about $1.35 gas. So we think that would be sweet, but we'd be just going down our merry old road just the way we were, and we can't do that no more. Nothing bad has happened to us because this, we've trusted the wrong God, and he's taken our children, he's destroyed our country, and we just can't have it. The Bible talks about the good old days. He says, who said the good old days were so good? Because they made us lazy. It was so easy just to do it that way. Well, we're going back to the primitive ways, basically. Not exactly we have to, but might have to sometime. But this, everything that's happened to us is for good. And that's absolutely right, to rejoice. I remember I gave a message in Bronson one time, where's the joy? And that was for me, because I was so negative and everything like that. And where's the joy? It's the gospel. It's the good news. No, I don't know how it's going to end up, but I know it's good for us, and it's bad for them. And it's not as it appears on the news, but in Samuel, we turn to the wrong God. Government don't make our laws. If you want to live by his rules, these farmers out here just farming year after year after year, where's the land Sabbath? These guys, I got a guy here, he's bought, these farms 10,000 acres, but he busts bought up all kinds of farms. And one of the curses of the Bible is being driven from the land. Now, all these family farms have sold out to him. They're for sale. He's not that. But he's going to be driven out, too, write it on the wall. Because it says in the Bible that the land will get its Sabbath. And that's coming. It's going to lay restful. And I don't know how we're going to eat through it, but we is. So, but this is what's going on. And the masses are stupid. They don't fear God. don't go to a church for your faith, because they're not teaching in most places. They're teaching it's okay to sin about what they're doing, that they're just leading you down the bloody trail. And they're not taking no persecution. Look where Pastor Peters is up on that hill. You know, look at all the preachers that are on TV. There's no persecution whatsoever. Pastor Peters knows what persecution is. And then he says nothing bad happened to me. Now, that's a light on the hill for me. We have to believe that. And, you know, we all came on pretty upbeat this morning. There's no, but we're starting to see this high price of gas is humbling us. It really is. And now those that have ears to hear will hear it and see it. But those that won't will just complain about it until they go down. So, no, the highest form of government is Christian self-government. When you can regulate yourself, that's the highest form of government. The lowest form is the New World Order. So, Revelation 18, cut yourself off from Babylon so you don't suffer sudden and swift destruction. Now, sudden and swift ain't like we think it is, as far as I can tell. It's God has allowed this to happen over a slow period of time so we can adjust. But I don't know about you. I'm happier than I've ever been, because I can see the hand of God, and it tells us not to weep when the wicked are cut off either. So, I told my girls when I entered the world, I said, people are bastards. I said, you find a good friend, you hang on tight. And I just talked to a guy last week. I said, you consider people your enemy till they prove otherwise. You know, and that's the way we trusted man way too much, and we're going to do good. If they ain't got ears to hear and ain't listening and ain't asking, just you don't waste your breath too long. You know, you have to make a statement. One time I sat in a restaurant years ago, and they were talking in the back room, you know. Anyway, they count, you know, you never know how much good you're doing, you know, but they come on this. I'm asking, I got to think about what it was about. Oh, the Catholic Church and the Bible. Well, I said, that ain't the Roman Catholic Church. That's Catholic means the true church. You know, Roman Catholic is the screwed up church. Now, that's Judeo-Christianity also. So, but that's there again, who makes your rules? The Bible, somebody said earlier, the Bible, who dwells on the law cannot be moved. You can't move me. Because we are hated by our fellow man because we aren't movable, and they are, and they want us to be like them. Nobody wants to repent and come back to God's way. They want you to go down with them. Well, I don't want to go down with them, so I'm going to put my life jacket on in Jesus Christ and take whatever he gives me.
Amen.
Well, Tim, that idea of perception of yours, that's something I thought about a lot, and it's pretty important to be able to grow as a man, as a Christian, you know, as an adult, of grasping the concept of perception and the fact that is that's what we believe we see from where we are, you know, from where we're standing. And everybody knows whenever you move, you get a different view and things look differently. But we are grounded on that rock. We do our best to be. Anyway, we do our best to look at things from a biblical perspective. And other folks are not looking at it that way. When I've tried to explain perspective, and it's kind of a joke, but it shows people what you're talking about. You put two people sitting across from each other on a table, and you tell one of them to raise their right hand. And the guy across the table, you ask him, okay, is he raising his right hand, or is his hand on your left? And well, it's on my left. And you know, so it is opposite. It depends on where you're coming from, where you're looking, as to what you see. And whenever you're dealing with other people, it's important to identify their perspective, to be able to see where they're coming from, because we are all different, and we should love each other and have each other's best interest at heart. And a lot of times whenever you're emotional or in a moment or what have you, you don't have the capacity to look at things from other people's point of view. And that point of view is their perception of reality. Back to the $5 gas. Hey, it's great for a lot of them. You know, it's not so great for us, but we're on different sides of the table looking at the same thing. And you're talking about God's kingdom and Satan's counterfeit kingdom, which is 180 degrees out. you're on complete different sides of the table. So what's good for them is bad for us, and what's bad for us is good for them. Other than the fact that you got God in the middle of it saying, "Hey, I'll work all things for your good because I can, and because I love you, and because I do," and He does. He can take that baby food shortage and turn it into a blessing to His people. And time and time again, He has done that for us. And for the ones that did eat the baby food, and you know that the heavy metals are there, we've also got His word that you can take in those poisons and not be harmed. I will say this, and for everybody, we need to be praying over our food every day and every time we get ready to eat, because you really, even if you grew it, you still don't know what you got. And I'd say that's one thing for sure that we need to do, whether you eat organic or beef or pork or chicken or whatever. Need to be praying over our food and praying that God purify the water that we drink, because you just don't know.
That's true. That's true.
You know,
I've seen a sign. A lot further. Go ahead.
I seen a sign in a man's yard the other day. It was a homemade sign, and he says, "Don't pray for an easy life. Pray for good men." And I thought that was quite a statement. You know, and that's what, you know, if we want to go back to $1.35 gas, that's easy, but we ain't going back there, and I'm glad we're not.
Yeah, I had somebody in the other day, and they said, "Well, do you think anything will ever go back to like it was?" And, you know, before all this happened, and I said, "Well, I certainly hope not." They looked at me like, "What? You like it the way it is?" And I said, "I didn't say that." <You know? laughs> But I didn't like it the way it was either. You know, well, I said, "There's got to be something different." I said, I know there is. I mean, that's what, and I know there is because my Bible tells me so. So, you know, and we look all around us, and I can't help but feel that all of this stuff, and I've talked about it before, but, you know, you've got the baby food shortage that you mentioned, Josh. We've got this homeschooling revolution that's going on. They were on the radio here the other day crying about, they don't know what they're going to do with the schools because they've lost over 40% of their students. They're still not back in school. That's huge, you know, to this public reeducation system. And I don't know where they've all went. God does. I don't. But I'm pretty sure that wherever they are isn't any worse and maybe a lot better than than there. So, you know,
go ahead. Yes. Another food processing facility caught fire and burned, then processed onions, yep. I think, over there.
They've been burning down food processing facilities all across the United States, burning to the ground. I mean, it's just like, yeah, coincidence? I think not. You know, yeah, exactly. So, but these
pretty are good incentive. Pretty good incentive to grow your own food when you can't get it anywhere else.
Yes, or at least get in touch with your local farmer or grower and have a personal relationship with, you know what I mean? So what an opportunity for a new avenue, you know, for something that hasn't been done before. Yeah, well, it's not easy to do that. You know, that's what a lot of people say. Well, that takes a lot of extra time, a lot of this. And it's like, not really. I mean, you know. And we have people out there who, some of them will take advantage of it. I mean, and some of them won't. But as far as taking advantage of the situation financially or something like that, but we have people out there, it's turning their heart back to their fellow men. And we know that God said He was going to turn the father's hearts to the children, you know, to that next generation and to that. And I think even to this present one, you know, that there's those things. We see it coming around. People are changing their... I've handed out a lot of books here lately. And, you know, it was a few years back. I kind of sometimes, you know, I was like, yep, never heard any more about it. I'm handing out stuff now, and I get phone calls, I get texts, I get saying, "Wow, I read that. That's amazing." You know, so it's like, "Thank you, Lord." You know, that should be the first words that come out of your mouth when those things go on. Not like, "Wow, I did something." It's like, "No, thank you, Lord, for helping people wake up." You know, and thanks for letting me be part of it.
We're part of those people that need that waking up. You know, we're not where we need to be, and probably won't be when we check out of here. But so we need to be looking ourselves, as far as constantly seeking that truth. Whenever, a few minutes ago, whenever Mr. Paul said we were lazy, I kind of took offense to that because I'm not a lazy guy. you get to looking at it and it's like, well, with the baby food thing, is it laziness or not? And like, yeah, it is, because it's a whole lot easier to pick up $2 pack of baby food than it is to take the time to, you know, keep a certain portion of the food out and don't season it and freeze it and then, you know, puree it and this and that. It is. It's laziness. I mean, I'm a good worker, but in that instance there, it's just laziness.
Well, Josh, I think that comes down to that perception.
It can also be ignorance.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, and I'm not trying to say anybody's stupid or ignorant or anything, but sometimes it's just omission. You don't know. It hasn't been called to your attention. You know, right. I mean, we're finite. We're finite beings, and we tend to think that we, you know, our time is limited, and so is our energies. But, we're commanded to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, a lot of people think that means you should be out there preaching or doing those kind of things, and I say always about my Father. His work is everywhere and in everything, and so, you know, there's areas that I have no idea that I'm omitting because I just don't know. You know, I'm ignorant to it, and so as a result, when they're called to attention, I think the real thing is do we hear and do? You know, when we're called, you know, your ears prick up and go, hey, wow, I hadn't thought of that, or I haven't done. Well, here's an opportunity for me to do something else that needs to be done. You know, and that's
being humble, and being teachable. That's where
exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
We've gotten way too used to that convenience. We've gotten way too used to that convenience of $1.35 gas. You know, and like you said, Josh, the just pick up a jar of baby food and. You know, because we have gotten used to this easy way of life. You know, the Song of Moses says, "You have grown fat and kicked. You have grown thick with fatness." And that's what's happened. That's one of the things that's happened to our people is that we've gotten fat and lazy. Now, we're not all fat. We're not all lazy. I don't mean to offend you at all, Josh. You know, I don't think any of us are lazy in the, you know, the ways of the world, the ways of working and providing and those things. We just have not, you know, how many people have to go out and cut firewood and haul it home and saw it up with a handsaw and then split it with an axe or a maul, you know, or have to go out with a horse and mule and plow land and hand harvest it and that type of stuff. Have to, not as a side deal. You know, we don't, I mean, we go collect wood, but we don't have to. You know, it's something that you know, it's a want to do it and not a need to do it, but we have. I remember probably the second year we moved out here, back in 01, 02, something like that, we went out to Wisconsin to help a man put a barn up, a shop, and drove out there and got out there, I think, on Monday and just worked from daylight to dark, you know, up and down ladders, putting walls up, work. And Pastor was not used to that. It was back when Pastor Peters was alive, and he was not used to that. And I remember him commenting that, you know, that next morning, ooh, he felt it. It's like, what's this in my shoulder? And my legs are, you know, man, I'm not used to going up and down that ladder. And it was like that for a couple of days. We were out there all week. And those first couple of days were, you know, man, you feel it in your shoulder and your back and you're sore. Of course, I was 20 years younger, and I was more used to doing that, so it wasn't impacting me as much. But by the third morning, Pastor was up before I was. Hey, sleepyhead, let's go. We got work to do. And I remember him commenting on that, that you know, we weren't used to doing that. He wasn't used to that physical labor, up and down ladders and hauling lumber and hammering and all that kind of stuff. But it only took a couple days to get back used to it. You know, it only took a couple days of that soreness, of that, of having the right attitude, of having that work ethic, that you know, within a couple days, it was just back on, let's just get it, daylight to dark. And again, it's that convenience that we don't have to do that. But if it comes down to where we have to, it just take a little bit of time and the circumstances. You know, if you have to make your own baby food, you realize you can. If you have to grow your own food, guess what? You realize you can. Because, again, of his word. Because he is our refuge. When we can do all things, not because we've got all the books on prepping, not because we've got all the food and dried food and all the prepper stuff set up, but because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can do things that that we weren't expecting to do, that we weren't planning on doing, but if we have to do them, we can.
And I 100% agree, you know, with the comment on the prepper stuff and all that, but it is a lot easier to gather eggs when you got chickens.
For sure. Well, and that, too, is from God. If you have that stuff, the reason you have it is because God, you were listening, you know, and God informed you. And if you didn't get the memo, why, God's going to help you with that somehow too. You know, just faith it and work your way through it. I mean, I kind of chuckle about the one of the things that has really, really come to the forefront of my sight that God's brought to me, I think, is this perpetual growth model and man's way of doing things. And if you watch for it, you'll see it. Everything is onward and upward, according to them, always, or as far as economically speaking go. They're, you know, market saturation means nothing to them. They can sell more. They can always continue to sell more. They introduce a new model. They obsolete the old one. They, you know, take your pick, but it's all about perpetual growth. That's the bottom line. And the only perpetual growth model in the universe is God's way of doing things. There is no end to it. He is eternal. He is boundless and endless. If you want to do perpetual growth, you better get into that. You better get into his program, because everything else has a ceiling. And, you know, that's part of this. They hit the ceiling, and then there's wars and rumors of wars and all this kind of stuff, because that's the reset button for their perpetual growth. And they don't know. They can't grow it and maintain it in a prosperous and orderly way, but God can, and he does, and he has, and he has the plan. Somebody will just, you know, if you'll just follow it. So anyways,
you talk about working physically, you know, I did tree work for 19 years out of high school. You know, it was hard work, you know, and but I'll tell you what, if I lay down for a half hour, I felt like a brand new man and just keep right going. But if you get tired in the brain for whatever reason, because you think with your brain or you worry about everything like that, and when you get tired in the brain, you're tired and you can't get away from it. But I can get away from physical work real easy, just like Pastor Peters in 2 days, you know, he came around. And but then you got to use those muscles, you know, and your arm muscles and leg muscles are probably as just as important as your brain muscles, you know. Amishman. I know an Amish one time down in Illinois or somewhere down there, and they went back to horses, he says, because when I ride the horses, I can hear the birds sing and I can think. You know, when you drive a tractor, you don't hear that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, they got some, they're a little nuttier than fruitcakes in some ways, but they got some good stuff too. The best thing they got, they take care of their own, and that's what we all have to do. And like Tim said, I think it's getting easier to talk to our people that thought we were crazy at one time. So,
yeah.
So, they were almost right in the wrong way.
Yep. Paul saw a headline today, an NPR poll, National Public Radio. You hear me call that National Jewish Radio. They put a poll out that 54% of Americans agree that the border crisis is an invasion. Now, how long have we been talking about invasion? It's not immigration. It's invasion, invasion, invasion. And now even NPR puts out that, yeah, over half of Americans that they polled agree that it's an invasion. Because, like you said, Paul, people are waking up. They're seeing that these things are going on. You talk about work. My wife was telling me about some research she did that on Alzheimer's patients, and it said that they go back and that grip strength, how strong your grip is also a marker, a indicator of how less likely you are to get Alzheimer's. And what does that mean? Well, at least in that study that she had looked into, that, you know, if you're used to physical labor, that, yeah, it is strength all around, physical and mental. But we've got fat early. Go ahead, Josh.
Got to check that on you. I got to check out a little bit early. Got a neighbor needs a hand. Y'all have a good day.
Josh, thanks for joining us, brother. God bless. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. We've got a few more minutes here. 307-745-5913. I can tell you, we've been haying. You know, it's hay season. You've heard Jason mention it from the pulpit a couple times. You got to make hay when the sun shines. And we have been blessed with rains this year. We have. But enough days of sunshine, at least in pieces, to be able to go out and cut some hay and give it a day or two to dry and rake it and bale it and pick it up without it getting rained on. But it makes for long days. And even using the tractor that you mentioned, Paul, climbing up and down that thing all day, bouncing around in that, picking up bales and doing that thing. If you're not used to doing that, boy, I've felt it. But within a couple of days, it's kind of normal. You get used to it real quick. And that's a good thing. It is. That physical exercise. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said some of the best thing for a man is to ride a horse, because it is, like you said, Paul, your Amish buddy. Hey, you can hear the birds, and that physical motion, you know, just the being physically active, in some way, shape, form, or fashion is good. All around, it's good for us.
Yeah, it is. Study nature, observe things. You know, don't just take it for granted that it's, you know, the universities have led us right down the bloody trail. You know, there's a book out there that you can read if you want to, and it's very disturbing, really, and it's called Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. And it talks about when they started spraying for Dutch elm disease, all the dead robins and all the projects around the world that they did, and all the destructiveness of the chemicals. I know for a fact that you can get bugs to leave a plant by good nutrition. I've seen it all the time. And they won't touch a healthy plant. That's just the way it is. Even deer and birds, I have strawberries, a deer won't eat them. The neighbors ate to the ground. The robins don't even come in. And I don't know exactly what I did, but I just know you get start looking, people, for a different way to do things. God has his ways. Every insect, every fungus is not a problem. There's just a lot of bad plants because that's what God's way of cleaning it up. And as well, we owe the banks, so we got to sell that. So we spray and get the fungus off it, but that's not the way it works. God's system is actually quite amazing when you sit back and look at it. And there aren't no experts. Don't you ever let an expert in your house because there ain't one. So if he tells you an expert, be afraid of him.
Yeah. I remember we did a Jason had brought it up, and we did a little research on it and brought it up on a Sunday, early Sunday morning on a review of the news one time. It's been a few years ago, but how the mice in would not eat the GMO Roundup Ready, all that corn that they had piles of it, and they had done, there was some research done, and they had piles of it and piles of good, you know, non-GMO corn in two piles, and the mice would not touch the heavily modified corn, the GMO and Roundup Ready and all that kind of stuff, that they left it alone and ate the good stuff. And nature knows. I think that's what you're saying, Paul. Nature knows. And we would do well to learn from from his perfect way.
Yeah, raccoons will not eat Roundup Ready sweet corn either, and there's plenty of it out there. So, you know, when an animal is smarter than we, then we ought to start looking at we.
Right. Amen to that.
Now, when you observe nature, that's the greatest teacher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The system's falling. You know, I deal with a lot of orchard people and stuff like that, and they're all bitching about losing their chemicals and stuff, but and I've tried to tell them for years, and I don't even see nothing anymore. But the one guy said the other day, he said, I don't know what I believe anymore. Well, that's a good sign. Now he's almost teachable.
That's right.
You know, he's got rotten apples, got condemned, you know. And I've been telling him for years. I go there 6 weeks later, still wasn't on, you know. So, you can't have enough leaves to put, you know. But he thinks that he knows, and nature knows better than he. So,
right.
And not that I'm so smart, I'm just observant.
Well, I think it's just like the baby food deal that Josh was talking about. You know, when you realize that what you've been doing either isn't right or isn't working anymore, or that at least there's a better way. And how does that come? Does that come in times of prosperity? Like you mentioned, you know, do you realize that, you know, when you're prosperous, And everything, you know, is going great, that's when you need to change? No, it's when you know, we're living in with this inflation. Guys, let's try the phone line this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. I just wanted to comment on what you were talking about with the farm. Probably 20 years ago, one of the local newspaper editors told me to look at a website. And it showed all the local farmers that are being paid by the government to keep their land lie fallow, which is a good thing, actually. But on the other hand, it encourages, in my opinion, big pharma and so forth. Everyone has to get a maximum amount of yield off of their property as they can. And then, of course, all them chemicals basically ruin the soil. But if it wasn't for the federal government doing that, I don't think there would be such a need for big pharma, because everybody would be growing stuff on their land and we'd have plenty. That's just my opinion, though. So, but that's, you know, basically the knowledge that I had from back then.
Oh, amen. Agreed.
That's a really,
yeah,
that's a really good opinion.
It is. It is. That, and we've talked about that, how it sure seems that the American farm, for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part, that they're after quantity versus quality. Well, why is that? Well, it's just like in the beef market. You know, half the packing houses are owned by foreign entities. And so, yeah, your local farmer you know, Uncle Joe down the road that's had a farm for years. It's such a rarity today. It's these corporate farms, and like you said, Paul, the guy that, oh, he's farming 10,000 acres here and 10,000 acres there, and it's all about quantity versus quality. I had heard a story of a farmer in Iowa years ago, had 600 acres of corn over here, and they grew 5 acres of sweet corn in the kitchen garden in the back. And his daughters and his family, they sold that sweet corn at farmers markets and on the roadside and made more money off 5 acres of sweet corn than 600 acres of corn going to the local co-op, you know. It just is. It reminds me, we've mentioned it before, the victory gardens of World War II. When this nation was in a war, I think it was 50 or 60% of the people were growing food for themselves and their neighbors. And it's like that, if you look around, Remnant, it's like that now. You can find, if you can't grow or you're not, you got a neighbor that does. It's the time right now of farmers markets. Those things are going on. We've got chickens. They're just not laying right now. But you know what? My neighbor up the road, his chickens are laying, and I buy eggs from him. And we've got another neighbor on down the road that was advertising, hey, if you need beef, I've got beef. You know, we've got good home-raised beef in the freezer if you need it. Now, it's more than Walmart mystery meat, but it's the real thing. You don't have to worry about it. And so, yeah, caller, it is. You know.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. God bless.
I just seen a headline, but not to change the subject this morning, where Walmart's going to pay for their employees' abortions if they want them. So boycott them.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I think talking about perception and belief, I think one of the things I want to throw out there in regards to this ag business is the fact that a very small percentage, and I don't remember what it is. It seems, it runs in my mind, it's like 5% or something, but I stand corrected because I don't have that laying in front of me. But the world population that farms agriculturally that feeds the world is extremely small. And they talk about this food shortage and about, oh, we need GMOs and we need this and we need that. And the truth of the matter is, as far as food goes, it's a very small percent. There's a lot of growth ability there. There's a lot of to do it right. And instead, they push these genetically modified organisms. They push these, chemicals on the land and everything else. And I think the perception that they create is the fact that we're really, really short on food when actually there's no shortage. The GMOs mostly are used in industry or alcohol production or things like that. And I think that when we understand that those things are going on, that it's another one of those non-problems that they're pushing to create pandemonium, confusion, and fear. You know that, and I, you know, all these countries that starve to death, like Venezuela and there's a host of others. That one just pops into my head. But they're not about the fact that there's no food available for that country. It's all political and theological regimes
that's right.
that create a philosophy that causes them to starve to death. That's not about lack of food.
Tim, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. I got the book. We've talked about it before. Execution by Hunger. 7 million people in the breadbasket of Europe were deliberately starved to death at Stalin's command. I'm trying to get this book to make it available to the Remnant. We get out of the hayfield, I'll do some. But a quick quote here. It says on the introduction to it, the famine of 1932-1933 in the Ukraine was a political famine. It was the deliberate creation of a bureaucratic mind. It was a genocidal famine. The one that was employed by Stalin and his followers, as a means of subduing the Ukrainian farmers. And if we are not living that again today, seeing that what happened in 1932 and 1933 again, I think that's just what you're talking about. It is. Well, guys, we are out of time. I want to thank you, men, for joining us. Hope you have a blessed weekend, guys.
Thank you. You too.
And Remnant, thank you for joining us. And you can join us at church tomorrow at scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. We'll see you there.
But Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, big high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, Snake High. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
Snake Hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake Hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.